93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
514 at Galesburg's Evening News. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. Pleased to be joined in studio by Illinois State Treasurer Mike Frericks. Glad to have you back. Welcome.
Will, it's great to be back in Galesburg.
Glad to have you. You were in town talking with visiting some banks, right?
I had a meeting at a local bank. I had people from banks, people from Western Illinois University, some other community members stop by, talking about ways that we can invest in rural Illinois to help agriculture and help small businesses.
Let's talk about that in a minute, but first, since you asked me about my question of the day off the air, that iCash program is really... It strikes me that, at least in terms of the unclaimed property, it's a lot of things that it sounds like people never realized they had, right?
Yeah, lots of that. So sometimes people will put something in a safe deposit box and forget about it, yeah. Or the bank closes and they didn't get the letter. But in the case of one friend of mine, I told him about this program. He had his father check online, check for himself, didn't find anything. Mm-hmm. Checked his parents. Didn't find anything.
I've never found anything.
Checked his in-laws and found $1 million.
$1 million? How? What was it for?
Now, Will, you may ask, it was stock. You may ask, what kind of billionaire friend do I have that his family lost $1 million? A governor, a gubernatorial candidate.
Yeah.
But in this case, my friend's grandparents had owned a few drug stores. In the late 1950s, early 60s, they sold out to another company who wanted to expand, and they paid for this with a lot of stock. And these were a family that had gone through the Depression, so they took the stock. They said, we don't need it right now. We're going to put it in a safe deposit box. We don't trust banks not to lose money, but we trust it in a safe deposit box. And they let it sit there for years and years. They didn't tell their kids about it because they didn't want their kids to be lazy, and they didn't need the money. They were frugal people.
Uh-huh.
And one of them develops Alzheimer's and forgets about the safe deposit box. The spouse who was taking care of him one day just drops dead. There's a lot of stress associated with it.
Oh, sure.
And so now no one remembers the contents of the safe deposit box. Eventually, they move the father into a nursing home. They move to another town, move into a new nursing home. And then eventually when they send a letter to the last known address, no one answers.
No kidding.
So it comes to us. And that stock that had been sitting there for nearly 70 years was Walgreens stock.
Uh-huh.
And so 60-some years of appreciation Walgreens, the stock had more than doubled multiple times. It had split, and it was worth about $1 million.
Is that the biggest thing you've returned so far through iCash, or has it even gone bigger than that?
I think we had a business that we returned $2 million to. In the program history, I think there was one $8 million return to a business.
But that really shows that you just never really know what's out there, right?
You will never know unless you go to our website, illinoistreasurer.gov, and check. I guarantee you, if you don't check our website, we will not send you a check.
Well, I would certainly hope not. But
well, actually, we've got a solution to that as well. We will start sending some checks to people who don't look on our website.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go. And I was thinking, the question of the day I came up with made me think of. I thought of it because as I was telling you that I saw, or I think it was either last week or the week before, you returned a Purple Heart to somebody.
One of the best parts of this job, since I've come into office, we've returned 6 Purple Hearts. Wow. To people who were awarded them or their family members. And these are something that a lot of people value, obviously. You cannot buy this valor. Well, I came into my office. I looked in the vault, and we had a display case with all these military medals. And there's a Purple Heart. And I'd never seen one in person. And I said, well, great. Who does this belong to? And I said, well, somebody. I said, well, let's find out. Let's try and track them down. Mm-hmm. I basically deputized one person in my office to become a private investigator, and they were able to track down the owner. And we have other ones in our possession as well.
That's crazy.
And when you return them, in some cases, these people went off. They fought in war. They were injured. They came back, and they were humble people. They didn't want to talk about this.
Yeah, sometimes they don't really want to go back and relive some of those days over, and I imagine that's kind of, where not thinking about the Purple Heart comes in.
I returned one to a recipient from the Vietnam War. He had given it to his mother and said, could you put this in safekeeping? She put it in a safe deposit box, and then she forgot about it, and the bank closed, and she didn't get a letter, so it was lost. We called him and said, we tracked him down in Mississippi.
Wow.
And I said, we can mail this Purple Heart to you. He says, don't put it in the mail. I've been looking for it for the last 15 years. I thought it was lost forever. I'm not going to trust the Postal Service. I will drive up to collect it. He drove up from Mississippi to Illinois.
That's great.
To collect his Purple Heart. When someone asked him, a reporter asked him, what did you do to earn this? He got silent.
Yeah.
You could see the emotion in his face. His jaws got tense. And his sister who was there says he doesn't talk about that time.
Gotcha. We're talking with Treasurer Michael Frerichs here on Galesburg's Evening News. You say you were in town today talking to some banks and others about your efforts to invest in Illinois. Talk a little bit. I know we've talked about that before, but for those who don't know, explain what it is.
Yeah, it's part of our Invest in Rural Illinois program. I grew up in a small farming community, Gifford, Illinois, population 800 in downstate Illinois. Mm-hmm. I currently live in Champaign. I'm the only statewide constitutional officer outside of the Chicago area. So when I came in, I said, you know, I've seen a lot of communities downstate who have suffered job losses as jobs have moved overseas or they've lost jobs through automation. And what can we do? Because I know these are people with a strong work ethic. They need to have opportunities. Mm-hmm. What can we do to invest? And so we create a program called the Community Uplift Program for disadvantaged communities. We're going to inject more capital into local banks so that they can help businesses improve, become more efficient, or start new businesses in those communities. They can hire more people. This is a real priority for me and this office.
Are banks otherwise struggling to help in this regard, or were they just not willing to help, or what kind of led to
that end? We're providing more access to capital here.
Okay.
You know, we partner with them. They ultimately decide where they want to give out loans. But if we can put more money into those communities and offer more loans, we hope to help create more jobs. We can invest in all kinds of places and make money off of that. But we think when we invest in Illinois, we're still going to make money. But if we help Illinois businesses to grow and thrive and generate more wealth, when we help Illinois agriculture and farmers generate more profit, that also benefits the state in terms of increased income taxes paid. So it's a win-win when we invest here in downstate Illinois.
And what are banks, what did the banks here tell you today about how, if at all, that they've been able to help?
Well, one of them said, we'd like to work, but we're too big. Well, we talked about it, and we can always go back to our investment policy committee and make changes to this program. You know, that's one of the things we're constantly trying to do in the office is constantly improve. When I came into the office, we had this program, Ag Invest. Ag is the number one industry in the state of Illinois, but we weren't making a lot of loans. So we went out and we talked to farmers and to farm bureaus and to banks. And what we were told was, this program doesn't really meet our needs. Well, anyone who's followed farming for the last 30 or 40 years realized it's changed a lot. It's evolved. But our program didn't evolve with it. And so we're constantly looking to make improvements to stick with the times.
Not to get too political here, but given what might be coming in agriculture, just given things with tariffs and concerns over, you know, the national farm bill and things like that, it sounds like this may help stay on top of wherever farmers might end up struggling here.
We're hoping to play a role in that. But if this works, if we get into trade wars with other countries and they start imposing large tariffs like China did on soybeans, you're going to see commodity prices fall. And that's comes right out of the bottom line of our farmers. You know, an awful lot of people who supported this administration, he's now pushing a policy that's going to directly hurt them. So we're going to do what we can. This program is not going to completely counteract that. But if we can help farmers afford to get a crop in the field and take it out, if we can help them to modernize and improve the efficiency of their operations so that they're more competitive, then that's where we'll step in.
Okay. In terms of the community uplift part of all of this, there was $500 million in new money that was generated to help in that program. And I think of that as being not an insignificant sum, at least given the situation with the state budget. Is this tied into that at all? Are you able to make these programs work given the issues we've had over the years with the budget?
We can. It's confusing to people. They say, well, how can you invest money if we have this big backlog of bills? Well, I try to explain this saying there are lots of different state funds. There's a general revenue fund, which is the largest fund out there, but it also is short of funds. There's a big backlog of bills there. We have over 700 different funds for specific purposes, and you can't use those dollars to pay down general revenue bills. But that money's sitting there in account, waiting to be spent on road projects or land acquisition, whatever it is. While that money's sitting there, we invest it and try and make more money to the state. You know, since I've come in, we've quadrupled the amount of annual interest. we're bringing in to state government. Because we know that every dollar we can bring in interest is a dollar that they don't have to raise in taxes or a dollar in cuts they don't have to make to important programs.
What do you do with that interest made?
So that interest helps state government.
Okay.
It helps to balance the books. Now, the deficits, the unpaid bills are so large we can't completely eradicate them, but we do our part. And one of the things that we think we can do is we can take some of that money sitting around and invest in rural Illinois. And as I said earlier, it's a good investment because we still make money for the state, but if we help grow jobs, it's a dividend. It's an extra bonus that accrues to the state.
What else did you talk about or did you hear from banks and perhaps those constituents that you talked to here in town today?
Well, we talked a lot of specific details about some of these programs, but we also talked about college savings. Always encouraging people to set up savings accounts if they have a young person in their life. If a young person knows they have a college savings account, they are 7 times more likely to go to college.
That's an initiative that really kind of has evolved with the times here in the state, hasn't it? I mean, unfortunately, not everything you've done, as you said, has kept up with the times necessarily, but it seems like the college savings programs have really kind of been ahead of the curve here.
Well, we came into office, and it was one of my major goals was to improve these programs. And so we put out RFPs for our two programs. We signed new contracts, and we cut fees in half. I felt it was important that more money stay in kids' college savings funds and not going off to make Wall Street bankers richer. So when we did that, we were actually awarded with a rating upgrade from Morningstar. When is the last time you heard the words Illinois program and upgrade used in the same sentence?
Is that a trick question?
Well, I can tell you in the last 3.5 years with the state of Illinois general obligation bonds, I've had 8 credit downgrades.
Yeah.
But this is what happens when you actually work with the people you want to work with. We didn't call them names. We didn't say you bankers are stealing from people in Illinois. We said, what concerns do you have? We listened more than we lectured.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, we found ways we could improve this program. And by working together, we actually improved it. Illinois now has 2 of the highest rated college savings programs in the country.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is possible. We have the highest rating Morningstar gives for an advisor sold program and the highest rating they give for a direct sold program. We're the only treasurer run program to do that. It's something I'm very proud of. We encourage people. It's great that you can get a nice rating. It's like getting an A or something. But if no families hear about it, and no one signs up and puts their kids on a pathway to success, then we haven't done our jobs.
I'm almost out of time, but let me ask you one political question before
Sure.
we run out. I was thinking today that I saw a report that both of the candidates for governor are spending tens of thousands of dollars every day on campaign ads, and it was more than the average household makes in Illinois per day. Is that a concern? I mean, it just seems like we're setting the bar for continued ugly politics for years to come here, regardless of who you support.
Yeah, it's a concern because one of the things I hear from people the most is they're just sick of the campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
They're sick of the name calling. They want people to actually do their jobs. So, one, I don't have near the personal net worth of either the 2 gubernatorial candidates. So spending that much a week is not an option for me. But 2, I tell everyone, I will talk about the election, I'll talk about the campaigns after Labor Day. I still have a job to do. I was elected to do a job, and we're going out and we're talking about that, trying to sign people up for it. You know, people tell me some people never stopped campaigning and never started governing.
Yeah.
After the election is a time to put the campaigning away, stop the name calling, and roll up your sleeves and get to work. Actually, run on your record. Don't call your opponent names. Tell people what you did and what more you want to do for them. I think that's what people would like to hear out of their candidates.
Novel concept, right?
Unfortunately, yes. But that's what we're trying to do is talk about things in our office, doing our job, and then we hope to be judged on them. If you don't have a record of accomplishment, all you're going to do is point fingers and call names.
All right. So your office's website is?
IllinoisTreasurer.gov, IllinoisTreasurer.gov, and you can go to iCash to find unclaimed property. Bright Start, Bright Directions for college savings and for lots of other programs we offer.
Community Uplift and those other initiatives are there as well.
It will all be on there. There's a lot of information. We're very proud of it, but it does no good if no one checks out our site and signs up and uses the programs.
State Treasurer Mike Ferrix, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Will, thanks for having me back.
Welcome back to town. Stay tuned. It is 5:28. We've run a little long, so I'll skip sports here. We'll get to business news and our question of the day. Oh, Treasurer, what's the biggest thing that you've ever lost and later found?
The biggest thing I've ever lost and later found. Well, I found $25 in unclaimed property when I came in. On day one, my staff said to me, Treasurer, you're in charge of unclaimed property. Why don't you begin by claiming your own?
Where did that come from? How did you lose it?
Well, so someone tried to send me money over PayPal.
No kidding.
Now, this was years ago. I don't remember it. I probably got an email in my inbox saying, collect your money from PayPal. But I probably thought, this is a scam. I probably hit delete. Or it got sent into a spam folder. So for whatever reason, I didn't claim it. But PayPal doesn't get to keep that money. After 5 years, I didn't claim it. They had to turn it over to the treasurer's office. And then ultimately, it got into my hands.
Well, good for you. Treasurer, $25 richer. How about that?
Yes, it's already been spent.
I'm sure it has. Treasurer, thanks so much.